back at WNST Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into the holiday season. I'm celebrating 30 years in Baltimore radio on Monday, but we're not really celebrating on, I hope we're celebrating on Monday. I mean, we beat Cleveland. Feel a lot better than it felt this Monday, losing to Pittsburgh. We're going to be at the Beaumont on Thursday in Catonsville. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. I'm eating crab cakes, giving away scratch-off tickets. Come on by to 21228. Then I'm going to be in Costas Inn in Dundalk on the 15th from 2 until 5. I got to work on some guests. Anybody has any Dundalk, Essex, Sparrows Point guests that want to come by and give me a hard time? Just come on by. Stop by, pass Drug City on the way down to Costas and give me a hard time for the holidays. Sean Stepner and I, we used to give each other a hard time about hockey and getting together in the old media room and rubbing elbows back when I used to be a real media member. I blew my back out again over the weekend, did not make it to Pittsburgh. Luke went up the hill, down the hill. Big shout out to Bo Smolka for riding along with my chemosabi. And I thought, you know, licking my wounds after this loss, I need to talk to some local people. Sean Stepner covers all things sports for WMAR. He was embedded with the new Terps program and the great Danny Manning down at College Park, but certainly monitoring all things Ravens. What's going on, Stepner? How's life, man? Happy holidays to you, and I hope your turkey went well.
Turkey went well. Hanukkah just finished up. I do celebrate the Hanukkah, and everything was good, man. How about you? Everything good except for the back?
Yeah, I missed that on Mr. Rooney's roast and the cookies up at Heinz Field. I think Luke may have smuggled me a couple of cookies if I could pick them up sometime in the next 24 hours. I like the peanut butter ones this time of year. Mr. Rooney makes nice cookies up there. Listen, I've been up and down that road, and I've driven off that mountain after losing terrible games when, you know, balls get dropped in the end zone and terrible defensive stands that don't hold up and Roethlisberger to Ward, Roethlisberger to, you know, name any of these guys that have beaten us over the years. This was sort of a new one, though, right? Like, you know, you put it on the offense at the end. You put it on, we're going to get 2 yards. You put it on Lamar. You draw it up. And then Lamar misses the play, and it changes, much like Josh Bynes said in the aftermath, kind of changes the entire conversation, not just about Marlon Humphrey, and we'll get to that. And but losing in Pittsburgh the way they lost in Pittsburgh to Roethlisberger, probably the last time they're going to see him up there, and he cowboyed up at the end, right, got all the points in the fourth quarter. Terrible loss. I mean, really, it feels like times five, especially the morning after.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, yeah, you look at how it happened and who it happened to. Yeah, I mean, sure, it's going to hurt. It hurt in the moment. It hurts for Ravens fans, you know, for a few days until, you know, Ravens fans hoping you beat the Browns and you're right back on track. Look, I mean, as far as the 2-point conversion goes, I was in favor of it. You know, that's the big storyline from this game, this latest chapter in this rivalry. I don't know if it's seen an ending come down like this, this way, with Lamar, certainly. But you put it in his hands. Look, the offense all fourth quarter and really for the bulk of the game, they were contained. TJ Watt was everywhere. Pittsburgh was having their way. Until they had that last 148, and like this crazy 2021 season has played out, the Ravens just slap something together again and they move downfield and boom, they're within one. Now, do you play for overtime? Taking the Marlon Humphrey situation out of it, which
I don't think you can, though, right? Like, guys like you and me are sitting there watching the game, and in the moment, I'm like, I'm kicking the ball here. I got the best kicker on earth. I'm kicking the ball. Then you see John come out somber-faced at the end. John clearly had no confidence in putting the defense back on the field.
Why should he? I mean, look, in the moment, and back to the Marlon Humphrey, let's put that aside, because at the moment, in the moment, we didn't know that. We didn't know that Marlon was done for the day, and we all saw how Averett played in the game. That defense, I don't know if they're stopping Pittsburgh if the coin goes Pittsburgh's way. Now, your offense, Lamar and aside from that final drive, what did they do all day long? I know they had the 99-yard drive. Okay, that's good.
They actually converted some third and longs, which is a bad – not so good to be in third and long. Fortunate that they completed them. But you're in third and nine, third and 12. You're going to get off the field eventually.
Right, exactly. Now they score, and look, it was the right call. Why? Because the play should have worked. It was an inch – away. It was lost by fingertip. Okay. How many times have we seen Mark Andrews come down with an amazing grab like that? I mean, like he just kind of goes like this and he gets the ball. For those of you listening on the radio side, you know, kind of bring the ball in with his fingertips, right? That's what I just motioned. If you're watching on Zoom, you know what I'm saying. But look, I mean, if it's an inch the other way, and you referenced it, Josh Bynes. He's saying if he comes down with that, it's a totally different storyline. It is a totally different Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, totally different week leading into the Cleveland game. And we're talking about how it was the right call. And everybody's talking about the resiliency and the resolve to somehow slap it together. But to that
And how about
point,
that cowboy, John Harbaugh? He's going to the Hall of Fame.
Riverboat John, right? You know, there's only so many times that this team is going to be able to piece it together, slap it together, and get into the end zone, win a game miraculously. I mean, that's been the story of this season, apart from a couple games. And it came back to bite them on Sunday. It just didn't work in the end. It should have worked. I like the play call. And it shows the team. John shows the team that, hey, I'm going with you. I'm not playing it safe. And I have confidence in you to do it. Brandon Williams said it after the game as well. We'll do that play 1,000 more times because they believe in number 8. They believe in Lamar Jackson. Whether or not, you know, he's going to get back on track, that's a story for another day or the next 10 minutes with you and I. I mean, that's to be seen, too, because Lamar has not been playing up to his MVP standard that everybody was talking about the first few games of this season. He hasn't been playing like that as of late.
This guy's always looking for a story. Sean Stepner's at WMAR. You follow him out on Twitter as well and doing stories on people and sports and in and around the Beltway and even outside the Beltway. I'll come back to the Ravens at the end here. We'll talk about Cleveland this week and where they are. But you spent some time around the Terps. And listen, I might not talk a lot about it this week because the Ravens are in the soup. It's my 30th anniversary. I got a whole bunch of old pals we're going to welcome on. We're going to have crab cakes this week at the Beaumont, next week at Costa. We're getting ready for the holidays. My wife and I are moving. There's all sorts of things happening, right? But the Terps thing happened to me in the middle of the crab cake tour on Friday. I'm over Pappas with Mike Bordick sitting around. We're having a crab cake, and my own text service goes off. My Coons Ford text service goes off, and there's Turgeon gone. I'm like, you know, wow. Like in the middle of the day on Friday, it's December, season's early, Danny Manning. You went down and took the temperature and, I don't even know what media members run around down there and do that when the Ravens are playing, but you got a little college parking. Give me a little update here, Sean.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was like you, I was surprised. I mean, my family and I went up to New York City. We went up to New York City on Friday and Saturday.
Would you eat anything good?
Oh, I had great pizza always. I had a great corned beef sandwich.
Oh God, I want a pastrami right now.
Oh man, what's the Carnegie Deli is closed. Now that was my jam when I went there. I mean, their sandwiches were legit.
And like
I can get down on a corned beef, a pastrami. Don't give me anything else. Don't give me the Russian dressing. Don't give me the cheese. Don't give me the sauerkraut. Don't give me any of that stuff. Lettuce, tomato, anything. I want meat, bread, and yellow mustard, hot. That's me.
I don't do
That's
yellow
me.
Mustard. We talk
what's
about
that
this every week. That's gross.
Nestor, what's that face?
You gross me
you
out.
Like
you
it?
Just talked about yellow mustard.
Oh, yeah. I get down with it. A lot of people like the spicy brown. Anyway.
Go ahead. Back to the Terps.
We're getting off on food tangents, which I love. The Terps. Yeah, so we go to see the New York City in the holiday time. We bring the kids up there every year. It's kind of a tradition we do, see the tree, see the festivities and feel the energy. Right. And we had just got to our hotel and like you, I see the notification and, I'm like, this came out of nowhere. A lot of people thought it did. And talking to the Terps on Sunday after the game, after they lost to Northwestern in the Big Ten Conference opener, Danny Manning's debut as the interim head coach, they echoed the same thing. They say that they didn't see it coming. And why would they? This kind of thing never happens in college sports, college basketball, before the conference season, 8 games in.
It's and you're bizarre. It really is.
You know, multiple times, Eric Ayala, the senior guard for the Terps, who has been with Turgeon the longest, multiple times he said, you know, he referenced feeling the pressure, Turgeon feeling the pressure from everything and the fan base. You know, he mentioned the fan base. I think it was really getting to Turgeon, the not winning, not getting the response from the team that he was. And he was feeling it from the outside. And I think it obviously finally got to him. And, you know, Eric Ayala said that, you know, Turgeon just walked into the what was supposed to be film on Northwestern, film on their next opponent on Friday. And instead of firing up the film and getting to the game plan, he said he started by saying, "I love you guys." And he proceeded to tell them why he was stepping down. Danny Manning said that it was, quote, complete and utter shock from the team that Turgeon stepped down. Danny Manning was brought in to be the – obviously, he was an assistant coach, but he's brought in because he's very close to Turgeon, you know, from their time at Kansas. And, you know, Danny Manning's a former head coach. I mean, he knows the ways of college basketball, obviously, from his great playing days and –
he didn't come here thinking he'd be coaching the team on December 6th.
That's what he says. That's what he says. I have no reason to doubt him, but that's what he says. He says it was complete and utter shock. And he said, you know, there's no coaching manual. There's nothing in the coaching manual to navigate through this kind of thing. So, yeah, I mean, it comes as a shock to the program is what they were saying on Sunday after the game. And you got to take them at their word. You know, a lot of times when there's a coaching change or something like this, there's some fight in the group. There's some, you know, banding together from the team. And
well, it's not a very good team, right? I mean, let's start with that.
And
that's part of the part where they're losing early and there will be no, you know, chance to rectify it. If you're Mark Turgeon, you're gone, right? He's out. All of these are his kids, right? I mean, I'm just learning that Beano's at DePaul. You know what I mean? Like, I coached Beano when he was a kid. You grew up in the corridor. I mean, you and I don't share the same football team or even maybe the same baseball team, but we share hockey, and you grew up in Terpslandia. I always talk about the misery Gary had because Gary's got his name on the floor and he won and all that. He was miserable all the time, and the fan base was always miserable with him all the time. And even after he won, he got maybe 5 minutes after he won, then it's, are you going to do it again like Krzyzewski does or like Dean did, right? And Gary had to cheat to win and said as much, and like, I'm not going to cheat, so therefore I'm not going to do it anymore. And that's how sleazy the whole thing is, like, just in general. And I think Turgeon, from the minute he came here, Dude, I'm in the middle of all of this. I've had a sports radio station for 25 years, taking phone calls, mornings after, all of this stuff. Turgeon, of all the people that have ever coached around there, nobody ever loved him. And I don't know why. I don't know his personality, coaching, in-game. Yeah, they never won big games, but you know they played in the tournament. They won some games. I don't know what your level of expectation. And he took the thing over at a time where he couldn't beat Duke. He couldn't beat Carolina. Couldn't lose to him either. But the program and the identity of the Big Ten and the fan base that wants to beat Tobacco Road teams and no longer has that ability. And then when you beat Michigan State, they're like, well, that's nice, but it's not North Carolina or Duke.
Yeah.
The fan base is miserable, you know, about the football program, about the death of the kid down there, McNair, a couple years ago, and the basketball things trying to, it has to be the meal ticket. And that's the really weird part of all this, going back to Debbie Yao and where all the money came from and the pressure that comes from that money to sell sponsorships, to sell tickets, to make everyone with a Maryland sweater happy, especially the ones that are given a lot of money, wink, wink. If they don't like you, you're done. And then it becomes like SEC football. It becomes like not a great job. I mean, to be like, if they're going to be out on the marketplace that where the expectations are through the roof and their ACC expectations in the Big Ten and nobody identifies, it's a really weird spot for the program to be in, because football is going to like feed them with Michigan and Ohio State, but they're never going to beat them. And then there's the basketball thing of this has to be the meal ticket. We have to be a basketball program by beating Northwestern and Iowa. It's kind of weird.
I mean, look, the whole college, you know, you're bringing up the SEC and the cheating, you know, that's an in-depth story for another time, but I will say this.
But it's not, it's part of the job. You have to go and get these players. You have to go to Wisconsin and get Diamond Stone and keep him around for 12 weeks to dribble so that, you know what I mean? There's a whole different level of how you're going to win.
You gotta go to Baltimore and DC and get the fruitful talent that is around this area. That's what you gotta do. You got to pull that and you got to win with that. And I will say this, when the expectation level drops to being a, you know, okay program, that's when you have issues. I mean, you know, you want that expectation, you know, you want to have that pressure to win, because when that pressure goes away, you know, what kind of competitor, player, coach, whatever, what kind of competitor wants to be, you know, where Maryland football has been the last few years in the Big Ten? You know, you want to build and build and build and be able to eventually go to bowl games every year, obviously, but eventually be able to win once in a while against a Michigan and Ohio State. You know, you want, as a basketball program, you want to be at the top of the Big Ten consistently and recruit the top talent and get the kids to want to come to Maryland. You know, Maryland is still an afterthought in the Big Ten. And until they win consistently and they're talked about because they're at the top of the standings consistently every single year, they will continue to be an afterthought. You watch the Big Ten network, Maryland is non-existent on that network. Non-existent. They don't, I mean, they barely touch them. I mean, why would they? They're built on, their bread and butter are the winning programs.
Their bread and butter is this giant fan base in Indiana and Purdue,
right,
and these places where it really, really matters a lot. It matters a lot to some people here, but Maryland's really stuck in the corridor between Baltimore and Washington all the way around, where if you love basketball, you can go see the Wizards. If you love football, you can go see the Washington, whatever they call themselves, who won again by the Tyler Haneke. Well, they won and we didn't this week. Sean Stapner's here from WMAR. He's been running around with the Turtles and waiting for the Ravens to not make turtle soup of the season. We're heading to Cleveland this week. Luke's going to be out in Owings Mills. All of it brought to you by Royal Farms. Real fresh, real fast. I need some tasty fried chicken here this week to get me through. Last thing, let's get back to football for a minute, because we can go round and round on the. I don't think the basketball program is going to be much. They're going to go through this finding a coach and hiring some Rick Pitino type or whatever they're going to do, right? For the Ravens and where they are, this is a pretty tenuous spot in the season, right? To be playing without Humphrey the rest of the way and knowing that no Stanley, no Peters, they're losing, you know, they're big ticket guys, the guys that Eric DaCosta looked at as leadership, best players on the field, guys we have to have, they're not there. Now they're going to have to go figure this out. Three games left in the division. Things are upside down. Everybody's, you know, 6-7, 7-6, whatever it's going to be. The Ravens had that cushion at 8-3. Cushion's starting to go away now, and the Ravens don't have the luxury of having the Jets on their schedule anytime soon.
Yeah, they have the luxury of having the Rams and the Packers and the division. Look, I mean, when this schedule came out months and months and months ago, you could have predicted it. The season was going to come down to these last seven games, you know, the five against the division, the Packers, and the Rams. And that's what it's coming down to. And, you know, you're hoping that they can continue to slap something together. You know, maybe look, up until like game eve of the Steelers game, TJ Watt wasn't playing until, you know, Saturday, and then he's activated and we saw what he did. You know, who knows what happens down the stretch? There's so many games left, but you know, COVID is still a wrinkle. COVID's still a wrinkle. Players might miss games, injuries, obviously Humphrey, you know, the story is still yet to be written. I got to say this, my confidence level in the Ravens, you know, finishing this off with momentum, more wins than losses, I don't think it's really high right now. My confidence level in this team, because they've been too inconsistent, especially in offense, but defense as well. You know, they allow, you know, the Steelers and Ben Roethlisberger, who's been a shell of himself this season. You know, all of a sudden, Ben Roethlisberger's old Big Ben on Sunday. I mean, come on. Right.
He gets rid of the ball quickly. Right. I mean, that whole thing of extending the play and all that, he's changed that narrative almost like a pitcher who had a fastball who learned how to do it with off speed stuff later in his career. He was good enough to beat him on Sunday. And I talked about this for months. All we do in the off seasons, poop on Pittsburgh and ooh, Cleveland, they're going to be better. And Cincinnati, they stink. And here we are in December and Cincinnati might be the best team of the whole pack. And they stunk on Sunday. As I'm wearing my powder blue.
And Cleveland has had a week to assess what they did against the Ravens, sit on their couches or in their offices on Sunday, watch the Ravens and Steelers, and then prepare for the Ravens again. I mean,
by the way, dream that Marlon Humphrey won't be on the field next time around. I mean, Baker Mayfield wakes up with a different job on Monday morning this week than he did 2 weeks ago.
No question. And look, I don't know who made this schedule, but really did Cleveland a favor here. You know, Ravens by Ravens at home. So, look, it's another big one. You got to win your division games. Obviously, it's cliche, but it's a big one because losing to the Steelers and then the Browns, and they have Cincy after that, right?
Correct. Cincy.
Look. This is
seasons in the balance right here. This is it. Yeah.
I don't think it's a cliche to say it. I mean, these next 3 weeks are going to say a lot about this team.
And you wonder how they would do in a tournament here where all of these teams are kind of stumbling around if you have to go on the road. And I think that's the real cost of the fingertips on Sunday. Sean Stapner from WMAR. Tell me what you do at MAR, because it's a little unique. You don't sit and read scores.
Yeah, so you know, I'm not only Ravens, I'm not only Terps or Orioles when they're in season. You know, I like to get out to tell the sports stories of Greater Baltimore and
things like when a guy's been on the air for 30 years next week. Stories like that, local stories.
Yeah, let's do it, Nestor. You know,
shave, man. You don't want to do that.
you don't have to do anything. You can be on TV anyway.
Hey, listen, my mom's been dead a couple of years, but if you're going to put me on TV, I'm going to have to pretend she's still here and, you know, dress upright, you know.
Very good. Very good. But no, I mean, I'll get out to, you know, for the high schools, for example. You know, what a great story Mervo High School was last week.
That was not a good story. That was a terrible story. They beat my high school, dude.
Well,
I was wearing my Dundalk jacket. We had a 13-0 lead. I had a side bet with Brandon Scott. I was getting Lake Montebello if Dundalk won to myself for a whole day, you know?
But so, you got to be – and, you know, I was at that game. And but you have to be – Nestor, you got to be happy for that Mervo program.
I am happy for them. I wish they would have won a different year when it didn't beat my team.
That's fair. But for everybody who didn't know, you know, they experienced a terrible loss in their teammate Elijah Gorham earlier in the season, who passed away after suffering injuries on the field. And then they, you know, they played in his memory, and to be at Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium on Thursday night.
There was a lot of passion over there, man. I was on the Dundalk sideline and I watched everything going on across there. And as much as you want your team to win, right? Yeah. And I, you know, Johnny O and I lost the bet to Brandon, so I owe him crab cakes at Coco's again.
And Dundalk, you know, those Owls have nothing to hang their head about. I mean, I went out to Dundalk practice earlier in the season and caught up with them when they were, you know, when, you know, kind of the middle of the season there. And great kids, great program, Coach Banta. And there you go, dude.
Let each fellow join our chorus, echo far and near, huh?
Look at that.
Yeah, wow. It still fits too.
All right.
Don't mess with Dundalk. I'm still putting it on. No problem, man. I mean, I'm not wearing any Mervo gear, but I'm putting this on. It's fine.
How often do you wear that? You got to rock that around town.
Well, I don't know if you know. On my 30th anniversary, I'm a Dundalk Hall of Famer, just so you know. You don't know who I am? Yeah, come on, man. I ate a lot of pizza over there. Swallowed a lot of aggression as well. So,
Well, I hate being a one-upper, but you are talking to a Bowie High School Sports Hall of Famer.
The nice. See, this is the pin from when we lost to Damascus. We lost 51-6, and Jake Funk, I think, is still running 412 yards. So at least this time around, my wife and I, like, I put the jacket on. She had a little green hat. We went down to Annapolis. I saw a whole bunch of old friends and guys I played Pop Warner football with and stuff. So it was a lot of friggin' fun when we were winning 13-0.
Yeah. I had
my moment, man. I mean, we were winning, and then we're down on the goal line about to make it, you know, 19. And you know, high school football is like, it's all about red zone. Like, you know, you either get it in on fourth down or you don't. And then the other team's got first and 92 or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So high school football is a little – the strategy's not the same, you know. But it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of energy. It was a beautiful night. And cheers to Mervo. I don't know the fight song, but Brandon Scott will teach me and I'll have to sing it, I guess. You know the Bowie fight song? Can you sing it?
No, I have no clue what that song is.
How the hell did they put you in the Hall of Fame? You're out of the Hall of Fame, Stepner.
I'm about a bulldog, probably. But anyway, so back to my...
Isn't that part of the deal? You have to learn your song?
I don't even know if we have a fight song. I mean, I'm sure we do, but look, I mean, I don't know. Anyway.
Go ahead.
So back, you can find me Twitter at Stepner, U-M-A-R. And my email, Sean.Stepner, S-H-A-W-N.Stepner at WMAR.com. Let me know your stories. Love to tell, you know, people's stories around town when it comes to sports. And I'm always looking for a positive story. So, yeah, I just like to bounce around. Story of the day, Ravens when they're playing, Terps when they're playing, of course, the colleges, all the local colleges, Morgan, Coppin, Towson, Johns Hopkins, you name it. I'm around. So hit me up and let me know your story.
Well, you know what? I feel even better about having you on my program because you know Coach Banta's name and you know about Dundalk and you were there. So we could have talked for an hour. I should have called you after we lost, but I didn't want to talk about Dundalk losing. I still don't want to talk about Dundalk losing. And the mayor's going to make me talk about it probably only for the rest of my life. We'll never be able to avenge it either. Sean Stepner's here, WMAR. Please go check him out on the Twitter thing and at Channel 2 with my dear friend Jamie Costello. How many years? Costello's got to be working on 100 years, right? I got to get him on sometime soon.
Yeah, 100 plus, I bet. You know, Century Club.
Century Club. Jamie. Yeah. I love Jamie. All right. I'm going to break out. We're going to be here all week. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour at the Beaumont this week on Thursday, at Costas next Wednesday. I am around all week long, nasty at WNST.net, and Luke's getting you ready for Cleveland. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.